The money had been allocated, to for this purpose. Actually, Mark, way back in 1984, or was it before that, by the county, and it was called prevention dollars for youth. And that money was given to the juvenile probation office for the specific purpose of eliminating or trying to diminish, juvenile delinquency, in our community. And there was also matching money that went along with, which was called DCAT funds. But in 1992, when the gang problem really became an issue in Sioux City, and particularly in the schools, that's when we were asked by the school district if we could do something and help them in one of their schools, which happened to be Woodrow Wilson, which no longer exists. But and we said yes. When the district came to me, and I'm talking about the superintendent of schools, juvenile probation, the state director came and sat in this very room and asked for our help. I said that we could do something about it. I said, but we needed funds, so that I could hire outreach workers to put in those schools to start eliminating and identifying the problem, which we did in 1992. So those funds was diverted from the juvenile probation department to our gang outreach program at the time. So we'd been receiving those funds for the last, well, it's been 22 years, because it was like in 1992 when we started the program. And we had contracts with the juvenile probation department, the state of Iowa. We would document every single minute we spent with youngsters. We started out with a lot more money than what we have right now. I think that we got to a point in 1995 where our budget was about $700,000 to almost $800,000 in monies for our program. With that, the majority of that money went to the youngsters and also went for teachers, because we also had a summer program for education program for the students. We also had a situation where we'd find jobs for all of the youngsters that was in our program that we had identified as potential gang members or gang members, and we found them gainful employment in the community. So I would say 85% of those dollars went back into the pockets of the kids and also to the people that we had in providing the services to those kids. But in 1996, 97, the money started to get ratcheted back from the state, and we finally ended up in 2014, 2015 with about $186,000 left in the dollars that came from the county.
Okay, and that was specifically for the gang
Yeah, it was
prevention
specifically for the
program.
gang prevention program.
And that's only one. Like, how many programs do you have at the Sanford Center?
We have our suspension program, which is we call the ASP program, Alternative School Program, and we have a contract with the school district for that particular program. And we have our after-school program, and that's funded by private donations and also the Siouxland United Way and funding. So we get the funds from those sources and also from the Friends of the Sanford Center. I mean, I'm talking about people that support the center. We've got a church that has supported us since 2000, if not before. And they have been faithful supporters of the Sanford Center. They provide us financial support and also physical support in supporting our programs here.
When funding was ratcheted back, is that when you started looking more toward places like that?
Yeah, when funding was ratcheted back, then we started looking for funds, other alternative funding. We have applied for federal funding. Of course, that has not materialized over the last 8 years, because the federal government has cut back, I feel, in funding for adults and also for youth, as far as the poor and the disadvantaged is concerned. So we haven't not been successful in getting money from the federal government, whereas we did in the past. I mean, we were getting juvenile justice monies also for our outreach program, which we are at one time, Mark, we were up to almost a dozen outreach workers in our program here.
And what are you at now?
We were at seven.
So I'll cut in half,
I cut
basically.
in half basically. Each one of my outreach workers have a minimum of 20 youngsters on their caseload. Now, we could have more, but 20 is probably the maximum as far as providing a quality program for these kids and also their families. Because as I said, we try to document every single minute that we're spending with these youngsters, whether it be with their school, I mean with their teachers, with administrators in that building, with the police liaison officers, with the parents. One of the key components that I promote anyway is that we have to have a really good relationship with the parents. If we don't have a relationship with the parents, then we are not going to be successful with the kids. We stand less of a chance of being successful with those youngsters.
I didn't realize that
Well,
that piece.
it's the entire family. And one of the other unusual things about our program, when we first started this program, the state's tradition has kind of been that they would work with families on a short-term basis. We could work with youngsters maybe for 90 days to a year, and then we'd have to rotate those families off and bring on more. My philosophy is those problems do not go away in 90 days. They don't go away in a year. Once we bring a youngster and their family on our caseload, whether that youngster's in elementary school or in middle school or high school, we will provide services for those youngsters all the way through their educational career. And that's why it's so important for us to have workers in those elementary schools and middle schools and high schools, because once that youngster graduates from those various institutions, then they, when they're in high school, we get them and we continue to provide those substantial services for them. And we've had a very good graduation rate. We've been able to break the cycle of delinquency, in those families. We have situations where some of the families, or a lot of the families, they've had quite in-depth involvement with the law, where mothers, fathers, uncles, aunts have been prosecuted. They've been in prison, and now they're siblings. Based on the work that we've done with them, we've broken that cycle where they have not been involved with law enforcement to that extent, and now they are they're family people themselves. And in fact, we've got families where they used to be youngsters, but they're adults now. They've graduated their youngsters from school. Their youngsters are now in college, and we continue to work with those families. So it's a continuum. Eventually, people will work themselves out of that if given a chance. And that's what this program does.
It seemed in the scene that they did give more funding to law enforcement. And their equipment and furniture and things like that in the same meeting. So it seems that maybe the shift in mentality is that the law enforcement can take care of this problem without the help of people like the San
Impossible. They
Francisco.
can't do it. They can't do it by themselves. This has got to be a community effort, and I think it starts with the grassroots with agencies like ours, because we are agencies that have a lot of contact, if not maybe the first contact with families that we're talking about here. I know law enforcement gets involved, and that's good. But it's good from the standpoint of protecting the community as a whole and keeping the negative elements, out of society. But as far as them working with families and changing their behavioral patterns and providing them the kind of resources that they need that's going to change their life in a positive way, law enforcement does not do that. In fact, when the school system first started the police liaison program, Mark, back in 1972, I think that was my second year on the Sioux City School Board. Leo Miller was the first police liaison officer in the Sioux City School District. He also worked in our program when we first initiated this program. He was our gang outreach specialist, and collected all of the data on the various gangs in Sioux City. And at that time in 92, we had more than 25 different gang sets in Sioux City. And one of the strategies that we used was, if the gang leaders were in those schools, we went directly to those individuals, because we felt that if we could change behavior of the gang leaders, then we could change the behavior of the entire gang set. And that's exactly what we did.
So you found success.
So we found success from that. And our program, as I said, when we spent most of the money that we had on those youngsters, we had 75 youngsters in our program here in 1993 in our summer program. They would come here at the center at 8 in the morning. They would work from 8:30 in the morning until 12 noon. And then from 12 noon, they would go to the very two schools. They would have their lunch, And then they would have summer school from 1:30 to 3:30 in the afternoon. And then from after that, they would come back to the Sanford Center and also to Woodrow Wilson, also to West Middle School for recreational activities. And that lasted until 9 o'clock at night. So it was a pretty extensive program. We would like to do that again if we had the dollars to do it. That would keep a lot of youngsters out of trouble. It would also keep, we were able, that first year, we were able to reduce the caseload of juvenile probation by at least 40%.
40%?
Yes.
In one
season. I think that, you know, before we started this program, there were several murders in this community of youth. There were clubs that these youngsters were attending, teen clubs at night, and there were a couple of murders that had happened. After we started this program, we have not had any more of those kinds of teen catastrophes in our community. In other places in the community where we've had crises within our school systems, where youngsters have brought weapons to school and used those weapons and taken lives, that has not happened in Woodbury County. And knock on wood, we hope it never happens. And the reality is that because we don't have negative baggage, the center does not have negative baggage to carry with us, families and those youngsters have a lot of confidence in our agency. And as a result of that, Mark, we find out what's going on in the community. We find out what's going on in the family as a whole. And in that way, we help the community by providing vital information to people in the community that can help us keep our community a safe community. We've been able to prevent gang fights. We've been able to prevent parents and other organizations from coming to the various schools, creating major, major problems. We've put down several of those kinds of things since we've been in existence in our program in Sioux City. And based on our program and the information that we had, we've been able to help the district in saving the taxpayers' money. So it's been a win-win for everybody.
I've been talking with George Boykin, Executive Director of the Sanford Center. The Kind World Foundation and the Waite Institute for Violence Prevention have joined with the business and philanthropic communities of Siouxland to host a fundraiser for the Sanford Center this afternoon. It will be held in the Orpheum Theater. Doors open at 5 o'clock. For FM 90, I'm Mark Munger.
Say what's wrong, my longtime friend. Something bothering you. Tell me what the problem is. I see what I can do. There are times we disagree. We agree more than we don't. We won't always see eye to eye, but we will more than we won't. We got friendship, yeah, the kind that lasts a lifetime. Through all the hardships, you know you're a friend of mine. We got friendship, yeah, the kind that lasts a lifetime. Through all the hardships, you're a friend of mine. If you're on the street, I'll take you in. If you're hungry, I'll give you food. If it's money you need, I got some say. If you're sick, I'll visit you. I've been where you are right now. You saw me through it all. I lean on you, now you lean on me. And I bet I won't let you fall. 'Cause we got oh Lord, the kind that lasts a lifetime. Through all our hardships, you know you're the good friend of mine. Hey, we got friendship. Oh Lord, the kind that lasts a lifetime. Through all the hardships, you're the friend of mine. to me, old pal of mine. If you feel you can't go on, don't you sweat, it ain't over yet. This bond we share is strong. Your welfare is my concern. You weigh less than you think. A kind of last a lifetime. Hey, through all our hardships, you the friend of mine. We got friendship, yeah. A kind of last a lifetime. Through all our hardships, you know you a friend of mine. Well, through all of our